Is it true that there's a house for sale in Miami for $132 million? Well, let's find out.
3, 2, 1.
Adventures in Miami Real Estate.
Well, here we are, my friends. This is the beginning of my brand new podcast broadcast, which I'll be making available both in video format on YouTube, as well as traditional podcast environments like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. So this is episode 101. It's the very first in a series. My name is Mark Zilbert, and I'm a real estate broker based in Miami Beach. But I wanted to create a channel that is not just about real estate, not just about trying to sell you something or show you what's for sale or talk about statistics and trends, et cetera. I will definitely have some of that, but this is really more about what makes Miami one of the greatest cities on the planet. And that's whether you live here or visit here. And from my perspective as a real estate broker, real estate seems to be at the center of everything to do with Miami. So given that that's my trade, I tend to have a real estate focus on this city, but this series will talk about the lifestyle of Miami. You know, who lives here? Who visits here? What are the things to do? What's for sale? What are some of the incredible prices out there? And you will find that we have properties at all price points in Miami, but we do have some extreme pricing. And I'm going to cover some of those today as well, just to, I don't know if you'll be shocked with it or if this is something you've already seen. But in any case, you'll walk away today with some staggering information about what it takes to buy some of our properties. Of course, there is a great amount of effort underway in Miami now to make more affordable housing, and there's many initiatives in play. And over the course of this series, I'll be talking about some of those. But the idea is that, you know, Miami has become in recent years a playground for the rich and famous. If you didn't have a lot of money, it was really hard to get something nice here. Well, that's changing, and it's changing for the better. There's still always going to be multi-digit, multi-million dollar real estate here. And there's no end to that. That keeps growing. But we are seeing projects announced for the regular working folks, which I think is a great thing. And that way, everybody can really enjoy Miami. Well, before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Mark Zilbert, and I've been a real estate broker since the early 2000s. And I guess I'm what you call a real estate success story because I came into the business with no prior real estate experience. As a matter of fact, my background was technology. So back in the early 2000s, we were in the middle of an amazing condo boom in Miami. And I noticed that there wasn't really a lot of online content available. So remember, websites, they've been around for several decades, but we weren't really using websites for real estate back in the day. So I built, with my own hands, the first version of Zilbert.com, which is a website that anyone could look at and it would show you what's for sale. And the way it really started is I was a newly licensed real estate agent and I was trying to make sense of all the different buildings we had here and new construction and pre-construction. And I found that there was very little information online. As a matter of fact, with a lot of the new developments, the websites were more like online brochures as opposed to sites where a buyer could look and really kind of figure out what's going on. So I put up Zilbert.com. It was an overnight success. And after a number of years, I sold my company, jumped back into consulting, and now I'm back once again in the brokerage business with a new website, new technology, but more importantly, information about what is happening in this market. And that's what I want to share with everybody. This particular podcast is going to have a lot of different content. And in the first season, I'm going to try to shoot for 12 to 15 episodes. I may have fewer or more. It just depends on my schedule. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a practicing real estate broker. So I'm out in the field as much as possible. But I will cover not just property, but also, you know, like I said, lifestyle. What do people do? What are some of the good places to eat? And my perspective of Miami is that it's really, there is something for everybody. So I have a certain taste in food and I'll share some of the places that I love to go to. And a lot of it is fast food as well. So that's something that's kind of interesting Given that, you know, fine dining is everywhere, which I do enjoy, but I do have my comfort food options that I can't live without sometimes. I'm also planning to have a number of guests over several episodes, and these are going to be people that move, shake, make Miami real estate. And I think it's always good to get their perspective on what's happening here, why people are moving here in droves, what we expect pricing to be, and even looking at things like interest rates and new development, and you know, is there enough? Is there enough being built for everybody that wants to live here, or is it too much? So that'll be interesting to have some special guests. So I want to get started today talking about, I don't know if I want to call it outrageous pricing, but certainly really, really sky-high pricing and things that we maybe don't see in other cities. You know, when you look around the world, some of our most expensive markets are places like Tokyo and Singapore and Hong Kong, even New York. But Miami's catching up. We have a lot of really expensive property in new development, some crazy penthouse prices, et cetera. But I want to talk about what's actually for sale today. So to do that, I want to introduce you to my website, Zilbert.com. And this is a website that I've tried to make as accessible to as many people as possible. And it's very easy to work with, and you can use it on all environments, whether it's PC or Mac or tablets or mobile. And what I want to do today is talk about the most expensive property that you can find in Miami. So on my website, I have a menu at the top, you'll notice, called Top 100. And if you select that and go down to 100 most expensive, you're going to find yourself with a real-time data grid. And this list, if you go through it, this is 100 properties. And to start off, we're going to look at 18 Lagoras. Lagoras Island is an island in the northern part of Miami Beach. Very exclusive, beautiful homes. This particular opportunity for $132 million is actually an assemblage of four properties. And as I look through the site a little bit, you can see an aerial view here. There's three homes and there's an adjacent land here. The objective, the seller's objective, is to find a buyer who will want to take over all of this space and make one of the largest estates in Miami. And I think if someone were to do that, it would really be a trophy property, and I certainly would want to visit. So maybe I'll be at the opening party. But you can see more of this property on Zilbert.com, and you can scroll through the photo gallery that I have. Next, I want to take you to Golden Beach, Florida. This is the most northern city in Miami-Dade that sits along the ocean. And Golden Beach is one of the few communities where we have homes right along the sand. So this is really an incredible opportunity. This is a 25,000 square foot home, and it really is paradise. You don't get to have this type of living in Miami too often. This house is priced at $95 million. I mean, it's way, way up there. And the funny thing is that even at $95 million, the person or people who buy this, I believe, would knock down this beautiful home and start from scratch. So we're talking about people with very deep pockets that will do whatever they need to do to make it absolutely exceptional. And the final property I'll look at today is over on North Bay Road, which is our kind of our millionaires, well, maybe it's billionaires now, but North Bay Road sits along Biscayne Bay, and it is where we find some of the most incredible homes in Miami. This particular one is just finishing construction. It's a brand new home, and the interiors are being done by Antrobus Design. Allison Antrobus is one of the most famous and notable interior architects in all of South Florida. Absolutely amazing. But it's a beautiful home sitting along the waterfront, and it's got about just over 12,000 square feet of living space, and the price tag is a hefty $80 million. Now, what's great about this property is that it's ready to move in. It's brand new. So no teardowns needed, no renovations. You write the check, you move in, and you are then living in absolute paradise. So you can visit Zilbert.com and look at the other 100 most expensive properties in Miami. And there's quite a few to look at. I've been showing you strictly homes, but there is an option on my website to select condos. So you can look at something like this particular penthouse at the Surf Club Four Seasons, just spectacular. But just go ahead and visit the site to see more. So that's a bit of a peek into some of what's happening in Miami real estate. I will always bring you up-to-date information. And also, when there is any kind of a news leak or some type of gossip, I'll try to extract it and be as responsible as possible and present it here in my podcast as well. But for now, let's go ahead and look at some news headlines. Starting off at Miami Airport, I'm really happy to learn of this hotel that's about to be built there. For those of you that have traveled through MIA, you'll notice that there really isn't a decent, well, there's one hotel in the terminal. It's not a great one, but for anything luxury, you have to go off-site and take your luggage and that sort of thing. Well, as it turns out, there's a Westin hotel that is being planned for the area around the current parking lots. They're not going to take any down, but there is an open space, and there is a permit submitted to build a Westin hotel. It looks like they're going to spend $300 million on the construction. Moss and Associates is the contractor. And they're planning to build this 451-room hotel. And as you can see, it's quite stylish. I mean, look how beautiful that is. And the idea is that you are able to connect into the North Terminal right from the hotel without going outside, which is something we desperately need. It says here also the hotel will have a rooftop bar and lounge with 360-degree views, including views of the runway, which is certainly something I love to look at when I'm at an airport. I'm kind of a, what do they call it, an AV geek, right? An aviation geek. They go on to say that there will be a pool deck, as you can see here as well, and they call it a jungle-like pool. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it looks like it'll be fun. As well, a lobby bar, fitness center, there will be a spa and meeting rooms. And that's pretty exciting. That's something I'm looking forward to. The project is being developed by Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, as well as Fontainebleau owner Jeff Sofer. The architect is Arquitectonica, who has built so many of Miami's great buildings, and they're expecting to complete this in 2027. So this is pretty impressive. I certainly look forward to that. And as long as we're talking about the airport, I caught this other piece of news, and there's an airline called Condor, and Condor used to be a leisure subsidiary of Lufthansa. Well, Condor is now a separate company, and they are flying, as of March 23rd, 2024, a daily nonstop between Miami and Frankfurt Airport. And this is pretty cool. They will be using these brand new A330-900neo aircraft from Airbus. It's a very impressive airplane. The design of Condor planes, the livery, as it's called, is a little unique. They have this striped pattern, which kind of remind me of that fruit stripe gum we used to have as kids. But nonetheless, a plane is a plane, and it gets you there. They do offer a very nice onboard product. The aircraft has 310 seats, 30 business class seats, which is very, very cool. And it's a nice business class too, as you can see here. They do a nice job. They have 216 economy seats and 64 extra legroom economy, which I guess is what we would call premium economy. As I said, this service starts March 23rd, and it leaves Miami every day at 9:10 p.m. That's kind of a late departure for Europe. It gets you into Frankfurt at 12:40 in the afternoon, just afternoon, which is kind of cool because you can get on with your day. I've had a lot of flights where I get to Europe at 6 and 7 in the morning, and it's a little difficult. When you come back, the returning flight is at 2:30 p.m., arriving at 7:10 p.m. So that's pretty cool, and I hope to be able to try them soon. But as you'll see, Miami has really come onto its own as a world airport. Next, I wanted to talk about a recent sale on the Venetian Islands in Miami Beach. This property was sold at 100 West San Marino Drive. It's just over 5,000 square feet, and it sold for $23 million. the reason I wanted to mention this is because the agent who represented the buyer is Cristiano Suarez from Brown Harris Stevens. And Chris is part of the Zilbert Network. So he's kind of one of our own. And I congratulate him on this sale. This sold at $4,356 per square foot, which is a pretty impressive amount. What's also interesting is the current owner purchased the house in 2021 for $17.1 million. So reselling it for $23 million is quite a coup in such a short amount of time. But the new owner, I'm sure, will be quite happy in this home. And finally, I had to mention this, and only because I love food. Carl's Jr., the famous fast food chain from California, is now officially opened in Miami. How about that? Carl's Jr. Originally opened their first location in 1941 in Anaheim, California. They now have more than 1,000 restaurants across the U.S., and you can find them in 25 countries, which I didn't really know. If you want to try the famous Carl's Jr. burgers and other great foods, you can visit them at 5755 Northwest 87th Avenue. And that, my friends, is at the northwest corner of the Doral Country Club property. That's the Trump property. It's open now. You may see me there. You never know. I just love my Carl's. I'm going to try to always bring food into my podcast as well. And I love food. I love eating. Surprisingly enough, I lost about 25 pounds over last year just by changing some of the way that I'm eating. And I actually developed an eating program, and I'll probably create an episode where I touch on that a little bit because I think it'll be of interest to a lot of people. With that being said, my eating program is a healthier one, but it doesn't mean that I don't love junk food and comfort food, because I really do. So I'm going to try to bring to light as much as I can some of the great eateries around Miami. I'll be probably talking about some of the finer places, but I think for today, for this first episode, I wanted just to mention some of the places that I love to eat. If you are a local to Miami, you'll certainly know these places. And if you're listening to this and don't know Miami well, put these on your list, because I promise you, you won't be disappointed. So when it comes to sandwiches, my go-to is La Sandwicherie. And this establishment has a few locations around Miami. I go to the one in South Beach, which is roughly Washington and 14th. And if you love baguette, buttery, mayonnaise-y, mustardy, French-style sandwiches, this is the place. Hands down, I think it's the best place to have a sandwich. So check that out when you're in town. My soft spot is really Mexican food. And I lived in California for a number of years and really, really enjoyed authentic California cuisine. But Florida was falling short for a little while. But in the last decade or so, a lot of great places have popped up. My favorite go-to for real authentic Mexican and really good strong margaritas is Tequitlan. And this is a restaurant that you'll find in South Beach on Bay Road. It's over where you'll find Sunset Harbor, that area, which has really come into its own the last couple of years. But this place holds a special place in my heart, because during the COVID lockdown in South Beach, we all stayed home, as I'm sure all of you did as well. And I probably had them delivered to me at least twice a week. And it was an amazing experience. In those months, we tended to eat more than we normally would, maybe drink a little more than we would as well. But they would bring amazing homemade Mexican food. And at the time, they had introduced, I think they were one of the first places in South Beach, where they would bring you liquor already mixed. So they would bring full bottles of pre-mixed margarita, and they were absolutely killer. And I really, really enjoyed them for that. So I want to say Mexican food got me through the COVID lockdown, and I think it really did. Also, we have Bodega, which is more like Mexican street food. And you'll find these in a few locations around Miami, and they are really, really something to try. More like street tacos and easy comfort handheld food. Obviously, we have a reputation in Miami for stone crabs, and hands down, Joe's Stone Crabs on Washington and South Beach is the place to go. One thing you may not know about Joe's is that they have a fried chicken item on the menu, which is very inexpensive. It's really, really good fried chicken. But the story behind why it's there and why it's so low priced is back in the day, the owners wanted to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to come and enjoy Joe's, which tends to be kind of expensive. But if you don't have a big budget or a big wallet, you can come by and have very inexpensive fried chicken. I think it's $5 or $6, and really enjoy the setting. And half the fun of going to Joe's is the environment, the people. There's a vibe there, which is really amazing. And it goes back so many decades. I love the place. I also really have started loving Korean food. And I found a small place up in North Miami Beach on 163rd Street called Korean Kitchen. It's just a small, almost like a tent that sticks out of the wall. But if you go there for their bibimbap and dupbap beef bulgogi, I almost chewed on my words there. It's absolutely delicious. So definitely it's great food after a night out, shall I say. But some of the best Korean I think you're going to find in Miami. And of course, some of you know that I spend my time between Florida and North Carolina. And in North Carolina, barbecue is king. You know, the best pulled pork barbecue you'll ever find in the world is in North Carolina. But Miami is no stranger to the barbecue scene as well. We have a chain called Shorty's, which goes back many decades. The one I usually go to is on US 1 down by Dadeland. And basically, you go there for chicken and ribs and shorty sauce, which is a special hot barbecue sauce they make. But I love it. I love it. So that is also on my list. So those are just a few places to check out if you're unfamiliar with comfort food in Miami. I will certainly start talking about fine dining on other episodes as well. But for now, that is it for the food portion of this. And folks, this is really just the beginning of a great series that I hope you can enjoy. My goal is to bring you as much information as I can just to help you understand not just the real estate market, but all the great things that make Miami, well, Miami. So I hope to see and hear from you soon. I always appreciate comments on all these platforms, and I will try to keep fine-tuning the show so we get good guests, good content, and an awareness as to what is happening in Miami. And that'll be year-round. So thank you for joining. And as they say in French, à bientôt, which means we will see you soon.